You're listening to the Unsure Entrepreneur Podcast with Roger Pearce. Whether you're scribbling business ideas on a napkin or wrestling with the should I, shouldn't I question, get ready to explore the realities, the risks and the rewards of entrepreneurship as we share the stories, scars and successes of small business owners.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Roger Pearce, host of the Unsure Entrepreneur Podcast. Thank you for joining us here today. I'm so happy to introduce to you Janine Harris. Hi, Janine.
Hi, Roger. How are you?
I'm good. Really appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
My pleasure.
Let me just give a little background on you so we can tell the folks what you're all about. Janine is the owner of Keyring Media, a Toronto-based animation and live video production company that works with clients both small and large, including BMW, Toyota, Drake International, and Nickleby's Convenience. Janine is a multi-talented media producer with extensive experience across various roles, including corporate and web video production, television, and video audio editing. She stands out for her ability to make clients feel comfortable in front of the camera, her creativity, solution-finding abilities, and her knack for delivering quality projects on budget. And I personally know how awesome Janine and her company is because I worked with her to produce some of my own business videos.
Excellent introduction. Some of those clients, though, are a little older than the most current ones, but that is me.
Good to know. Great client list. I know you're always serving new clients, so no doubt there are lots more to add. So, Janine, the podcast is all about, you know, exploring entrepreneurship and your early days getting into entrepreneurship, and then, you know, what you're experiencing now as an experienced entrepreneur. So I'm going to poke and prod you a little bit, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
To add to the bio I just shared, let's start. Can you tell me more about the customers you serve and what your business is all about?
Okay, sure. Just to put some timing around this, I started the company in 2008. We celebrated our 15th anniversary in October, which was very exciting. And it was also a pivotal change for us because, like many entrepreneurs, I started out as a solopreneur. In about 2017, I had a very, very talented editor, animator working with me, and he came on board, and he came on board as a partner, to be honest. And that just sort of changed the company. So when we celebrated our 15th anniversary, there was a sort of a shift in the customers we were going after. And we've really started to look at larger organizations that we've kind of built to a point where we're positioned to actually service larger organizations. Interestingly enough, you mentioned Toyota in the introduction, and we got a project with them in our first year. We are still doing that same project 15 years later, which is a regular series to educate salespeople on selling cars, and it's put out to the dealerships from Toyota Canada. We have done some terrific work in nature-oriented, where we worked with Nature Conservancy of Canada to explain some very complex carbon and monitoring and having space that is protected. And so we did that. And we still work with smaller organizations with solutions that work for them in video. But that, of course, has changed because technology has changed. So it's a bit of a moving target, Roger, I got to tell you.
I love your variety of clients, and I love the fact you've got some repeat long-term clients. Doesn't surprise me, but how important is that for an entrepreneur, for a business to have that recurring revenue, right?
Huge, huge.
Very important. That's one of the things I always advise new entrepreneurs. Look for a business model where you can get that repeat order. Better yet, subscription business too, right?
Yeah. And having some name, some power in the names of the companies that you're working, you get that one good client. And even if it costs you a little bit to secure that client, if you can prove that you can deliver to them and you keep them happy for, as you know, 15 years or however long one entrepreneur wants to be in business, it's a little bit of gold.
Well, now you got me curious. How do you come across such great clients?
Well, back 15 years ago, I was smart enough to get involved in a networking group where we met, actually, Roger, if you remember.
Yeah.
But I recommend that to any business owner is networking is key. I don't think you can rely on digital marketing alone. as an entrepreneur, so much of the work that we do, and it, you're the same, I know that, people like to do business with people. And as entrepreneurs, we're the people. So we have to be out there meeting other people.
Some of my best business relationships and friendships have come from that BNI networking group we were a part of, Janine, so many years ago, including you.
Yeah, exactly.
We've kept up over the years. It's terrific. And you're right, networking is so important. It can't all just be computer screens.
No.
So back to the inception of the business. What was it? I mean, you worked in the biz for a while, right? How did you transition into the self-employment?
Oh, I had this great idea that I had taken to my boss. I was working in a video production and post-production house, a bigger shop. And I had this great idea that all these cameramen that were working on television were facing downtime when their TV shows were up, but they were really great cameramen and they were happy to do anything. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be great to have these guys doing corporate shoots, like CEO messages, and I called them quick crews. And I thought it was a great idea because we had camera equipment. We had the network of, we were doing television series at the time. We had the network of cameramen, and my boss just wasn't interested. And I thought, I think this is a good idea. And I resigned, and I was, again, really fortunate. Relationships are everything. My boss and his partner, both of them were super supportive of my initiative. And for the first year, they would lend me space and cameras to do stuff. And that's when I first developed Video Days, which you're familiar with. And that was with the help of them because they gave me access to equipment that I didn't have access to and I didn't really have budget for. So I was able to develop a product that I was able to sell to people that was no risk for me to embark on.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that your former employer gave you freedom, not only acknowledged that you're starting a business in that industry, gave you support and facilities and resources to help you get going?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And what's funny today is that one of the partners, he retired and he is my lead cameraman today. So I worked for them for 10 years, but he's worked for me for 15.
That's a great story. And so important. And this is the kind of stuff we want to talk about. You know, you don't have to, people think, oh, I'm going to quit my job and jump right in. And that's risky. What you did was so smart. You transitioned out of your paid job, right, into your own business. A very rare situation, got your employer to actually help you along that path.
Yeah. And let's be clear. I did leave my job and I was not paid. I made no money the first year. Let's be real clear. There wasn't a lot to, you know, you are jumping in from having security to having nothing. At that time, because I think this is important, is that I just made a deal with myself that every day I would talk to somebody new. It didn't have to be a client. It just had to be somebody that I would connect with, because otherwise it's a dark place.
So how did you handle that? No income, feeling alone, isolated. Obviously, you reached out to talk to people, but that's a scary thought for a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs.
The whole time. And when I say there was no money, so I had quit my job. My husband was working with a startup. And I think 6 months into me starting Keyring Media, my husband's startup ran out of money that he was working for. And he was just told on a Friday, yeah, we're out of money. It was a lot of fake it because I didn't want to tell anybody that just incredibly broke I was. The only thing I spent money on was BNI and networking and taking people out for coffees. I had no money. We had two small children, 5 and 2. It was the hardest year, but I kept saying, you know, it just felt so right to do it. I knew that I was meant to. That's all I knew. I just knew that I was meant to do this and I just had to keep charging forward, but you can't sit on your laurels. You just can't sit and wait.
What do you mean you knew what you meant to? Was it a, I know you have passion for this, but you're talking about something a little more like a calling?
I just knew that it was the right time. And let me be clear, it wasn't about the business that I was running. I was meant to be in my own boss. I was meant to be self-employed, to start a company. You could call it a calling. I just felt like it was meant to be. I wouldn't have been guided this way if I wasn't supposed to do it. If entrepreneurs are listening to this, you just got to believe in yourself. There's going to be days. I mean, Roger, did you have days when you came out?
Absolutely. And there have been lots of businesses in my past and all have been kind of underfunded and some of them foolhardy. I like to think I've learned from those over the years. But, you know, you talk about having no money. So you didn't raise none of the traditional financing startup, get some money from the bank. You just went for it. Wow. With kids and a husband also in transition.
It was a grim Christmas, let me tell you. I did everything I used every Aeroplan card, Air Miles card. Every gift came from any points. I did not finance it. Nobody was going to finance it. There was nothing to finance.
But video production is expensive. Like to set up, is it, back then?
Well, no, because I think the business model that I chose was very different for the time. I didn't want to own equipment. Everything was rent as needed, hire as needed, freelancers, build up my network. I had such a phenomenal network of talented individuals that wanted to work with me. I also paid every bill upon receipt. I never took terms on, and I still don't. I still don't take terms from my freelancers. They send me an invoice, I pay them, treat them right. And I don't ask for favors unless I need favors. When I have budget, when the clients have budget, when we can do this right, to pay right, I do that. When I need a little favor because we're doing something on spec or, you know, there's a smaller client who's trying to get up and going, then I can navigate and negotiate.
Looking back on that uncertain period, transitioning from paid work into your own business, what would you do differently? What would you tell someone else maybe embarking on that path?
I can't even imagine an easy path when you think of it, because it is scary. I think having a partner is great. And bringing in Charlie, you have to vet your partner as well, and you have to have a partnership agreement. But having a partner, having somebody invested in the same thing as you, emotionally invested. I don't mean financially invested, but just emotionally invested in the same thing. That is huge and a lot less lonely.
Charlie, does he have a complementary skill set? Like maybe you were good at technical, he was good at sales or vice versa?
Yeah. So I would be sales, he would be technical. So I handle more of the live action and he's all about the post-production. He's our creative director. So where I'd be the executive producer, he's the creative director. And together, it's not just about our complementary skills in business, but we have very similar beliefs, values that guide our business.
Give me an example.
The idea of paying freelancers right away and paying them well and making it a good working environment, working on things that we care about, work-life balance. We are by no means rich entrepreneurs. But I'm very happy with the life I lead, and he is too. I have a reason to get up in the morning that I love my business. I don't feel stressed. I never come home and say, oh my gosh, what a horrible day. I have amazing, like I love all of my clients. I love every person that I work with. And I can honestly tell you, I don't talk to a lot of people who have as great experience as I do. That's the magic.
It's a joke, but entrepreneurs wake up and we say, thank God it's Monday.
It's true.
You touched on so many great points there. And, you know, I've got a book I'm working on of the same name. And we talk about in the book, Entrepreneurial Life. You mentioned that. I love this life that I have. Can you share a bit more what that means for you on a day-to-day? I mean, you wake up excited, you wake up enthused. What's different than, say, a 9-to-5?
I run the business the way, and I have employees now, and I treat people the way I would want to be treated. And, you know, I've had some wild bosses in the past. I like the idea of freedom to pursue what inspires me. Entrepreneurs in this small business space don't talk about innovation, but the truth is we are innovating all the time. We're innovating on the way we do our processes, the way we serve our customers, the way we deliver our products or services. And I think that's really exciting to be able to change on a dime because we want to and not get stuck in especially in larger organizations, there's a lot of red tape to go through to change something. Whereas we get to, I had a colleague who at one point said, he says, I think you love business more than you love video. The video just happens to be the business you're in, but you love business. And that stuck with me because I think I do love business. It's sort of an art form.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, it also means, you know, if you decided to switch into another industry one day, you'd have the same skills stick with you, right?
Exactly.
Because you've got business skills and the video skills. So that's a winning combination. Too often, family and friends are skeptical of entrepreneurs with an idea to pursue their own business. What was it like for you? I mean, here you were jumping in. Did your family support you, or were they like, oh, you're crazy, go back to your job?
Well, my husband and I have been entrepreneurial since we met. I think since the beginning, one of us has always been self-employed. We've always been a little bit creative that way. Yeah, there was no question about it. That, like I said, the first year was hard, but I was younger. I don't know that I could do it today. I was a lot younger.
And your extended family or your relatives, were they like, go for it, or were they skeptical?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have a very small extended family, but my father is also an entrepreneur, which is probably where I got my drive for business. I saw him, he started his business when I was 16, and I admired him so much. And he was a consultant, and he was working up until he was 82. He was still doing consulting and still going, traveling across Canada and getting in front of big groups. And I just like, oh, he's got it down. He's just got it down. Yes, I had a lot of support. My friends, however, the friends who work normal jobs, they did not understand. They didn't understand me not having money and then not giving up and becoming a Walmart greeter. Why would you do this to yourself, Janine? Why would you be in this horrible situation? And as financially horrible as it was just so wonderful to wake up in the morning and know that whatever was ahead of me that day was of my making.
If it's to be, it's up to me, right?
Well, that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, nothing's impossible, but you can't give up on stuff, and you can't, it's easy to sit and rock yourself and just sort of, please make it go away.
Now, you're what I would call a very positive person, and that's part of the secret sauce. There are very many dark days for entrepreneurs that go through the startup process. As you know, what do you do to lift your spirits, to bring yourself up, to get that positive Janine back in the room?
The joke would be, a bottle of wine, but no, it's not. It's not that at all.
Double espresso? Yeah.
No, coffee, yes, is a big part of my life, but it's volunteering.
Oh.
I've had a long career of volunteering and, it's rewarding. I mean, ideally volunteering with things that you're interested in. So I've done scouts. I still do scouts, even though I have no kids in scouts. I like to volunteer and get involved in the community. And that keeps me grounded, I guess, and keeps me like, oh, other stuff is going on in the world besides my business and my woes. Roger, let me tell you though, after that first year, it turned around and I've never looked back. Like it was 1 year and it wasn't like I've not had hard times since then, just to be clear.
That's amazing. So what was the pivotal point? What changed during that early stage?
One part of the story I didn't include is that I did actually start the business with a partner. And after the first year, she was going to have a baby. And she realized that she couldn't do baby and baby business at the same time. And so she left after a year. And at that point, there was something that happened in me, even though I've said, get a partner, maybe not start with a partner because I like to make decisions. It was a lot easier for me to make big decisions and pivot and do all the things. So I was able to make decisions about what I was going to charge for stuff because it only impacted me. I didn't have to check with anybody. And I started closing business and I did a lot of work where the company volunteered in return for recognition, in return for a logo up. I've got to get the name out there. So I did everything that was possible without checking with anybody. I don't want to say that my partner would have stopped me at the time, but there was something freeing about making all the decisions. And at the end of the day, there was nobody to blame but me if it didn't work.
It's a tough call. And I think you're right. I think you really have to do what's best for you and figure out what's your preferred way to work. I think a partnership is okay in the beginning. I think it's helpful to get momentum for the business, but the older I get, the more comfortable I am kind of flying solo.
And whereas I had the opposite. So I did, you know, 12 or 13 years solo. No, 10. I don't know what it was, but I did a number of years solo and then I brought him in. But I knew him so well. We had been working. In fact, he was an intern that I'd hired at that company that I told you I'd worked at and left. I hired him as an intern way back 20 plus years ago. And he was just such a talent then that when he became a freelancer, it just became so obvious that I got to snatch that up. That's going to be the secret sauce.
That's cool. And that's part of the joys of self, the journey of small business. People come in and out of your life and your business, you know? And so what, I mean, on that note, I mean, they say running a small business changes us. It's not a bad thing. I mean, that's confidence.
Yeah, but it can be a hindrance too. And I think when you get to a certain point, if you really, like I'm at a point where I want to grow now, I have to accept that I don't know everything. And it's scary because 15 years, like, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do this. And I've done it. So to be able to say, maybe I don't know what I'm doing for the next phase and bring in the people that you actually need and the supports that you actually need. And if I'm not going to write social posts, get somebody to write social posts or get content. Be realistic.
I think that's brilliant. Delegate your weaknesses and play to your strengths. We can't know it all. That's part of the pressure. I tell new entrepreneurs, you know, expect to be marketing, sales, accounting, production, washing the bathrooms at night, you know, all that stuff. If you're coming from a job, there's different people in the organization to do specific tasks. That's the nature of a company. There's someone to do, change the toner in the printer. When you're an entrepreneur for the first time, it all falls on you and we get overwhelmed because we have to be all these roles. But as you pointed out, you don't necessarily. Maybe at the beginning you got to multitask, but the sooner you can afford to delegate, the better, because there's going to be people out there who do stuff differently or better than we do.
Absolutely. And I think it goes back to that whole networking thing. I talk to friends who are now thinking about branching out on their own and they're like, oh, I don't like sales. I don't do sales. I've never sold a video to somebody. It's not like you can go around and open your jack and say, here, would you like a video? Like nobody's going to buy. And it's the case with most of our services. What we're doing is filling a need, but we're also through that networking, discovering all these amazing people who can help us. So you network to get business possibly, but you network to meet amazing people.
And that's part of the joy of entrepreneurship is just your extended family, your work family, the people. I think to myself when I meet someone, okay, how can I help them? And maybe how can they play a part in what I'm trying to achieve?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I highly recommend it to everybody. You just have to have a thick skin and be humble. And
thick skin in terms of what? Being an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Can you expand on that a bit?
I don't think there's an entrepreneur who hasn't had a job gone wrong. You know, when it goes wrong and your client is so disappointed, it's hopefully a rare thing, but it does happen. Either you just didn't expect what was needed or whatever. And some clients can be mean. Well, what I discovered early on is that, well, mean clients aren't my style. So if a client is inclined to mean, I don't have mean clients. Like I said, I have great clients. Having the thick skin I talk about is A, being able to handle that kind of disappointment where somebody is disappointed in you, but also the thick skin to admit that you're wrong, admit when something goes wrong, take ownership of it and fix it. Everybody respects it. And if the client doesn't respect the fix, they're not the client for you. Well, they're not the client for me. You can have whatever client you want, Roger, but if they're going to be mean to me, I'm not going to, yeah, no. You've got to be able to say, oh, this is very disappointing and I have to give away something for free to solve this problem, or I have to do something that I don't really want to do, but I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do for this client. There's always going to be, you got to do it. It's like the Disney mantra, right? Like client comes first, client comes first. When you're an entrepreneur, it doesn't matter how much, like I said, I think I'm right most of the time. It doesn't matter how much I think I'm right. The client is always right. The client is always right. And it is. It is. The client is always right. And it's our job to make sure they're happy.
Great attitudes on customer service. Tell me, what's a piece of advice you give to someone who's considering? So very much at the ideation, the exploration stage way back when for you. someone thinking about starting a business, what would you tell them?
This may not be the normal answer that you might get, but again, it goes back to that people part of it. My biggest piece of advice, and I've given this to many people who have approached me about this, is go and talk to people. See if you're any good at just talking about your idea. A lot of people want to hold their idea sacred. But the truth is, if you can build that network, if you have good advisors, positive people in your life who can give you an honest answer or even just explore, I think talking to them is the first point, because they'll point out things that you don't want to hear, probably. They'll also get excited about the things that they're excited about. Talking to people is the first step. And then once you've started, I do tell, you know, that idea of talk to somebody new every single day. If I get into a low period or I'm feeling a little down, I reinforce that one mantra. I have to talk to somebody new every day. That was COVID. That's how I got through COVID.
Like you did back at the beginning of your business.
Just like at the beginning.
I love that answer about sharing your idea. Now, what do you say to the entrepreneurs who say, yeah, but someone could steal it, Janine?
If somebody can steal it that easily, then it's not that good of an idea. Because, and again, it goes down to who are you, you know, why anybody can do video. What makes me unique about the video is the way that I do video, the way I service the clients, the way I think about the creative. It's my way of doing video. There's lots of other places that do video. You must experience that too, because I know you and I know that you've got this way of talking with people and bringing people on board and this ideation that is going to make people want to work with you over Joe Schmuck down the street who has the same idea.
Very good points. I love it. You know, don't be afraid of sharing your idea. What you do is unique. It's not what you do, it's how you do it, really.
It is about how you do it, I think.
Janine, this has been so good. And that was such a great, great answer. Thank you for that. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have, but I want to thank you very much for sharing your journey and experiences and insights with us today. It means a lot to me and to my listeners. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Thanks for having me. It was nice to reminisce back, actually.
Absolutely. And hopefully we get to do it again. But I also want to give you a little plug. So what's the best way for someone to reach you?
Best way to reach us is to check out our website at www.keyringmedia.com. And we are also at Keyring Media on Instagram with some regular content coming out with neat ideas about video and communications.
I love all the video samples you have on your website. Very, very well done. Shows off your work nicely.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks again, Janine. And to our listeners, thank you so much. And be sure to return again for more insights from the Unsure Entrepreneur. Have a good day.
That's it for this episode of the Unsure Entrepreneur podcast. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss other candid conversations with small business owners. And be sure to check us out at unsureentrepreneur.com.